Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Dr. Trisha, do you know what day it is?
No, what day is it?
It's Tuesday, but not just any Tuesday. It's Perfectly Queer Book Launch Tuesday!
Oh my gosh, are you so excited?
I do. I hope I didn't just blow out the eardrums of our listeners by screaming into the microphone, but I have been waiting for this day for so long, and I cannot believe that it's actually here. The book is out. So anyone who pre-ordered, they should be getting their books in the mail. People can go to their bookstores now, and the books are available. And the audiobook, I believe it should also be up as well. And it's just so amazing. Like I just think back to you and all of the other people who played such an important role in getting this story out there.
Yeah.
And being the support and the encouragement to help me elevate my voice or amplify my voice and share my story that it can help others.
I'm trying to like date stamp in my mind really fast because we met late 2020. So it was probably around February, March, April, 2021 when we would have started that little writer's circle.
Yeah.
And then we joined the Hay House Writers community in June, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think I had joined back in January of 2021. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason in my mind, because the chapter, and I'm not even sure what actually the current title is, but it was Jack and the Absurd Botanical Metaphor.
Yeah.
That's when in March on my 40th birthday that year is when I posted it to YouTube and social media and said, hey, I wrote a book and here's the first chapter. When the reality was I had no book at that time. I just had a few chapters that I had shared with our group.
You're right. So. I think you're right. It was January. So January 2021 was when this really started to get the birthing.
Yes.
And now we're April 2023.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what a journey you've been on.
Oh, yes. I still am like, is this life? Is this really? And even going back, I think the coolest thing about recording the audiobook is that I realized that I had never actually read my entire story from start to finish because I wrote all of the chapters asynchronously. And so I would reorder them into chronological order. And, you know, I would go through sections at a time with my editor to actually go start to finish with a story without having or wanting to change anything, to judge anything, to edit anything. Like it is what it is right now. And that was really cool because I look back on the book now and I say, I wonder if I could do that again. You know, like if I knew what was ahead of me, I don't know if I could have taken on the journey. And then at the same time too, I'm so grateful that there are other people out there who have heard my story either through this podcast or my blog or social media, and they've reached out saying, I just started my process. I'm going through the same thing. Please tell me this gets better. And so I'm excited to say that this episode is called It Gets Better because I just kind of look at my life right now and marvel at all of the changes. It wasn't just coming out. Coming out was the first domino that led to the cascading of so many more beautiful things and beautiful aspects of my life. And so I'm really excited to share that with people. I hope it brings them hope that even if they are not at the beginning stage yet, or they've just started, or they're in their messy middle, that it is hard and it's okay to feel that hard, but it almost undoubtedly, I mean, I can't make any guarantees for anyone, but it does get so much better.
Well, I think actually you're making a couple of really good points, because even just the decision to make a big life change has a ton of steps that leads up to it. So whatever the change is, it almost doesn't matter, but there is this point where you know that it's either, I always hated this phrase, but it's the best one. It's like that moment in time where it's kind of a shit or get off the pot type of a moment, you know?
Right.
That we are at the cliff and we are either going to jump, mm-hmm. or we're just going to sit here and know that there's a whole other world on the other side of the cliff, but we don't dare go.
Yeah.
Like just that jumping off the cliff moment is, there's so many steps that get us up to the apex of the cliff.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that too, because so when I came out, and I think I had only really come out to my ex-husband at that point, and, you know, maybe two friends and a therapist or so, I started my own personal Instagram profile at that point. And my description on it was like bungee jumping through life. Because I did feel like there was just, it was constant. Okay. I don't know what's coming, but I have to leap again. I have to leap again. And it was still scary. Like every coming out felt like another scary leap. But yeah. And then, you know, there's also a lot of really cool stuff that came along with living my life, feeling aligned finally, and being able to live in integrity and more honestly. I didn't realize the weight of masking until the mask was off.
So when you're talking about living aligned and like just for the first time really feeling like you're living in alignment with yourself, I was talking to my daughter a couple of weeks ago about microdosing. She said,
on mushrooms, just to clarify here.
She said, you do realize that you could just do that for fun if you wanted to, like it doesn't have to be a self-discovery process all the time. And I kind of giggled at her because I've been so serious for so many years because I had to be, you know, the serious Mormon woman who didn't laugh too loud and didn't have too much fun and didn't like exhibit joy in this world.
Yeah.
So that kind of, it's making me laugh as you're saying that, because I'm having to almost ask myself, so Tricia, how in alignment are you with your authentic self still? So I'm actually super excited to hear you talk a little bit about that it gets better. Cause I kind of feel like there are times that I still look and I know I jumped off the cliff, but I keep wondering is there any way for me to scramble back up that mountain?
Right. Can I go back?
Is there any way to change this?
Right. Nope. You're along for the ride now. Wait to see how it unfolds. But okay. So I thought maybe I would start with a little story that I forgot to mention in our labels episode, just to talk about how not only my coming out is a process, but like there are people in my life that it has started a new process for as well. Mm-hmm. And that things do keep getting better for all of us. But anyways, we had a gathering at our house with a bunch of people over, a bunch of different couples, all people who love and support Jen and I. And I am a terrible hostess. So I had the coffee maker going, but I said, the mugs are in that cupboard. Help yourself, pour yourself a cup of coffee, you know, have a nice day. And so one of the guys that was there grabbed one of my favorite handmade ceramic mugs out of the cabinet. And Jen and I were kind of in the dining room area. And I look over out of the corner of my eye and I see him panic as he looks at the mug. Because what he didn't realize when he grabbed it is that my favorite mug says live, laugh, lesbian on it. And so inside, I am like, I was just kind of cracking up. I was like, that's kind of awesome. I'm glad you got my mug. but he had that moment of panic and his wife was there. And so I see him kind of thrust the coffee into her hand and he says, here's your mug. And she looks at it and she says, I'm not having that mug. That's your coffee. And then in my mind, I was like, this is so fascinating to me because I know that they love Jen and I, and it's just a mug with just the word lesbian on it. I didn't think at any point between this heterosexual couple that either of them were lesbians, and they were in a house with lesbians. So it's not a bad word in our household. But yeah, they kind of struggled with even having a mug with that label on it. And so I guess, and I know this is kind of a stretch, but I'm trying to bridge our two episodes here. So it just, you know, he ended up having the mug and drinking his coffee. And it just, it's one of those points where I think everyone got to learn a little bit more about themselves and their comfort levels and who they are and maybe what they need to explore more in their life. And I feel like even just in my coming out process and identifying myself as a lesbian, it has been kind of a beautiful exploration of like, what does this mean for me?
I was just going to say, you know, what I think is funny is you can always tell on your life journey when you can answer that question, what am I making this mean about me?
Yeah.
That the answer to that question changes along the way. So early in your journey, you might have gone, oh, I need to protect people from.
Right. I would have hidden the mug in my house. I never would have put it out there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then now, like, so I do, I love that you're saying that, that what am I making this mean about me?
Right. So, yeah. But I want to focus more on, I guess, all of the different benefits that I found once I did come out, because they were so much more than just, oh, well, now I get to date a woman who I am wildly attracted to. I love her in a way that, you know, it was like when you watch those movies or you hear a love song and people talking about love. And I just wanted, I hoped that that was real, like that I would get to feel that someday. And so to have just this beautiful feeling of love for another person has been amazing. But then there's other things too, like I swear more. That was a surprising thing. Because I just feel like for so long, my words would get trapped in my throat. And so once I was able to say gay, lesbian, queer, you're getting all the words. You're going to get the most real word that comes out of my mouth. You and I had talked before too, and I thought it'd be fun to share here. When I came, so I used to always have to wear makeup, even if I was going, going to the gym, if I was going to the grocery store, didn't matter where I was going, at a bare minimum, concealer, mascara had to be on my face. And coming out, I realized that I was always putting on makeup because I was concerned about what people would think of me. Mm. Well, once you come out as gay, I mean, you know, they don't give a shit about the mascara. The lesbian label is going to supersede everything. So, but I kind of love the fact too, that I could just leave the house as me and that I didn't feel like I had to create the Jill that was more acceptable to everyone else out there. But you have a different relationship with makeup. And I think it's really important to share this as well.
Well, so this is funny. So I've got a couple. Yeah. So my relationship with makeup is completely different in that I do makeup every single day. My evening makeup is the same as my daytime makeup, as my yoga makeup, as my gym makeup. I wear the exact same makeup. But for me, it was always it's almost like my personal self-advocacy that says for 20 minutes every morning, it's just my time. Mm-hmm. I do my hair, I do my makeup. And so for me personally, it has been on days that I don't do my makeup is for me, I don't do it for anybody else. I don't do it so that my husband finds me pretty or men outside find me pretty or women find me acceptable. It's Trisha showed up for Trisha. So it's like a radical act of self-care for me to show up with my makeup bag every morning.
Yeah. No, and I think that's awesome that we have a totally different way that we approach makeup. And at the same time, it's both going back to like, well, this is how I do this because I love myself.
Yes. Yes. So, absolutely. But I want to share my story with swearing because I kind of think.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yes. Let's do it.
I did not swear for the whole, I wasn't a swearer. And then I started teaching yoga. I started swearing when I was teaching and it only, all those words, especially the F word, were coming out while I was teaching yoga classes. And I actually went to a therapist because I thought that meant I was definitely broken. Like something is wrong and maybe yoga is a cult and maybe I've been brainwashed because now I'm swearing, but only on the yoga mat. And my therapist said, is it possible that on the yoga mat in the yoga studio, is the only place you actually feel free to be you.
Wow.
Holy fuck. Yeah. Yeah, actually, this is the only place I feel seen.
Yeah. So that is fascinating. Yeah. I know. I could physically feel when I was swallowing my words. And yeah. I did that for so much of my life. And so now it's all about just letting them free. So anyways.
It goes back to the masking that we've talked about so freaking much. Anytime you're masking any aspect of yourself, you're wearing that famous armor that Brené Brown talks about. Anytime you're like, you don't just mask certain aspects of yourself. Pretty soon you've built a fortress around yourself that is so tall and so thick that you're masking everything.
Mm. Okay. So I have another benefit that I noticed a while after I had come out, and I'm curious if you have any thoughts on this. I used to always think that if something good happened in my life, that there was always going to be the other shoe of something bad that had to follow. And that did seem to be the pattern in my life. Something good would happen. And then, here's, the dark cloud that's going to follow it. It wasn't immediately when I came out. Obviously, I took my time in the whole process, but I would say probably in the past year and a half or so, my mind doesn't even pepper me with those thoughts of something bad is coming. It's just something good, something good, something good. Oh, we can just have good. Like there's just a whole lot of good that I don't even think. And I'm not saying that like, oh, bad things don't happen to me anymore, but I don't expect them to happen. And I don't find them happening at the frequency that they used to.
So it's still an element of masking, which I think is really funny. So when we are masking within ourselves, even if nobody around us is noticing it, when we are masking, that's when we pull, that's like when we activate our imposter phenomenon. That's when we activate our otherness. And so we self-sabotage to hide any element. So when something good is happening, it almost pushes us to say, oh, wait, maybe I'm not worthy of this. I'll be found out. What if somebody recognizes that I'm not good enough to have deserved this, or somebody's going to come and take it away? Yeah. Whenever we step into kind of the fullness of our blessings or our gifts or whatever you want to call it, we are challenged to face those aspects of ourselves that are masking, because our internal family systems, have we talked about this? I can't remember on this podcast. I don't think we have, but internal family systems is this belief that, and it's so cool, but it's this belief that as we go through life and we have challenging things happen to us, we leave little parts of ourselves behind.
Mm.
The role of integrating these parts back into our wholeness is an aspect of going back and rescuing, like for me, my 11-year-old self. When my mom died, my mom took joy. She was such a happy person, such a joyful person. And so when my mom passed away, my 11-year-old self decided that joy was going to go, that joy belonged to my mom. And since my mom was no longer here, joy was no longer mine to enjoy or to have. So every time I'd go through my life and feel joy, my 11-year-old self battled that. And I'm worthy to have joy because my mom isn't here. So that's when we're like waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Because that 11-year-old self is going to hold us back. Yeah. So the more we step into living more authentic to who we know we are, the more we have actually rescued those parts and integrated them into ourselves.
Well, so, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
And there's actually an excerpt from the book that I'd like to read now. This was in response to a guy that I went to college with reached out to me. And he said, do you feel like you have more of yourself to give now that you are living your true self? And so, I have a very long paragraph about all of it. But at the end of it, I say coming out meant pushing people pleasing to the back burner, because there was no way I could come out and not everyone's going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
I was unapologetically voicing my own needs, and now I could protect the needs of my children too. In coming out, I had gained self-love. With time, I had gained self-worth.
Yeah, I love that.
And so this was the other really interesting ripple effect of coming out, is I didn't realize that by not loving myself, I was constantly devaluing my worth, whether that was in business, whether that was in my shopping and spending habits, in budgeting, making excuses with money. I mean, I read every money block book out there, and it didn't matter how many memories I went back to of my childhood and my first money memories, until I could love myself, I couldn't see worth in myself to get over those money blocks.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting to see how that, and I know there's a lot of women in particular that I talk to who are now coming out later in life or starting to, and they have major concerns over money, which is understandable. I mean, anyone going through the divorce process, particularly women, especially if you've been a stay-at-home mom or partially employed, the financial piece can be really terrifying. But I've been amazed to see just the change in my perspective, attitude, and energy around money and its role in my life as well.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is another aspect that has gotten better with time. But that doesn't mean, like, if you want to buy the book, I appreciate you, because every dollar counts. These kids eat so much.
No, I think that's interesting. And I think one of the things, though, that my brain is kind of thinking of, I've seen this thing going around Instagram and Facebook. It's kind of a sassy attempt at, I don't know where it originated, but it says something like, if we all follow our bliss and live authentically to just those things that bring us joy, who's left to do the hard work? And it's kind of like this commentary. And honestly, the only people that I see sharing it are members of my church, to be honest. Those are the only people who I've actually seen post this thing. I would be curious to know if it was just spoken in our general conference, if that's why all of a sudden it's popular. But anyway, and I keep on thinking, you know, so many people, kind of the same as you hear people talk about LGBTQ being a trend, the fact that more people are coming out is just a trend.
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of people who also feel that way about live authentically to you, find yourself, live your purpose. I think there are those people who want to still subscribe to the belief that that's just your trend. You know, it's just trendy to live unapologetic.
Right. But
I think what people don't understand about that phrase unapologetic is it's not saying that you don't take accountability for when you've wronged somebody. Like, it doesn't mean walk through life not apologizing for anything.
Right.
It means show up as you without apology to those people who are maybe wanting to dim your light or crush your spirit or make you or tuck you back in the closet. This isn't about the number of times I still apologize to my kiddos is still there. I still apologize to my kiddos. But by me deciding that it's okay for me to swear, it doesn't make me a sailor. It makes me a woman who has swear words as part of her vocabulary. Mm-hmm. But now my kids can also be more authentically them around me. So they're masking themselves less. I'm masking myself less, which means now the masks are coming off, which means the connection is actually becoming stronger.
Right.
I think that's what people don't understand about this concept.
Yeah, I would almost flip that whole concept on its head, because it is not like I have any less responsibility, or if anything, I'm working harder now than I have ever worked in my life. I am my yard guy. I am my pest guy. I am my pool guy. I run my own business. Jen and I are still in a long distance relationship, so a lot of times it's just me and the kids in the house. I have a lot of hard work and responsibility, but what I don't have is the crushing weight of masking on top of me. There's a lightness to everything. And you and I talked about this earlier, because before we recorded this episode, I was out mowing the lawn. Yeah. And I said, you know what? For all the people who complain about this, like, I love doing yard work. For one, it's one thing that I never thought I could do. It was like, this is a man job. You know, as much as I'm like, I'm so progressive, I'm such a feminist, I still in my head was like, yard work, man work. So for me to learn how to mow and weed whack and, you know, I was putting down mulch and all the things today, like, there's something I don't know. There was just such a lightness to doing all the work. Like, I get to be out here in the sun, in the beautiful weather. I get to move my body. I get to be physical and sweat and listen to a podcast or listen to music or listen to an audiobook. I'm still doing the work, but now I love my life and I love what I'm doing. And it doesn't feel like such work.
So, you know what I love about that? And again, I'm thinking about this silly quote that keeps going around. You're right. It's not that it takes away us doing the hard work, but I know it is so much easier to do the hard work if the people that you're doing it for appreciate you for you, right? So yep. In your case, you're mowing the lawn for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And my homeowners association, but yes.
But you appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I think about, there were so many years that I spent time being the booster club president for our school district's high school swim teams. And that's a freaking huge responsibility. There was, I can't even remember, maybe 9 to 11 high schools. And I was in charge of all of it, all of what was going on for those swimmers. But I loved those swimmers, and those swimmers liked me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they were easy to serve. Whereas there were other times, like I would have a church calling that might have taken as much time, but I felt very criticized in everything I did. Yeah. And it wasn't so much fun to serve in that capacity. So it's not that the work changed.
Yeah. It doesn't mean the
work changed.
Right. It doesn't mean that you're not doing hard work. It's just the work doesn't feel as hard.
Yes.
But it's still the hard work. It's not like, oh, I live unapologetically and now I'm in a hammock in Cabo drinking a Mai Tai. You know, that's not the reality of anyone who has come out or is following what feels true and authentic to them. Like, we're not all just like, we're at the beach and we're going to leave this to all the masking people to do all the hard things in life. And we're peacing out and living our best lives.
Well, again, yeah. So I'm thinking about that. Like, listen to that. If you're not having to hustle for your worth and hustle for your belonging, you're not overworking yourself to death, right?
Yes.
Like, you're not overproving your worth. You're doing right. Your work, and then you actually feel okay if you take the vacation to Cabo. But how many people, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I went on a vacation and my husband still had work that he was working on, or I was still working. You know, we went on a cruise one time and I was speaking at a conference and I was up every morning at 5 a.m. to write my conference presentation while everybody else was asleep on the cruise ship. So I don't think we do things like that to ourselves quite as much if we're feeling good about ourselves.
Right. Well, and that brings me to my last point of why I think so much has gotten better is because coming out is such a vulnerable act. And sometimes it makes other people around you feel like they can then say or do whatever they want to based on how they feel about your identity. And so really, for the first time in my life, I realized how poor my boundary setting skills were.
Yeah.
And I had to work on setting boundaries. And that's the same way with work, you know, deciding like, well, when am I going to work and when am I allowed to rest? Giving myself permission to rest, giving myself permission to have space and time away from people and conversations where we were not in the right place to have productive conversations.
I love that.
Yeah, it just, and that's the thing I think it goes back to is when you make steps living towards what feels right to you, you can also better protect yourself and the people around you as well. You know, if you're a parent, I'm better at setting boundaries with my kids. They have more structure to their life and know where they can expand and then where we have to have certain parameters. I think it's been a great exercise for all of us.
So I kind of love that you're saying that. And I love that today's book launch day, actually, because I think one of the things that I would like to just drop as an Easter egg or a nugget, a word of wisdom for our listeners really is that sometimes, like when we're in the mess, it feels really messy and it feels really scary. And like I said, there are times I just want to climb right back up the mountain and not be where I am right now in the journey. But I think what's beautiful is your book, very specifically today, you very specifically in my life, But there are, in any given situation for any one of us, there is somebody who is two steps ahead of us in the journey.
Yes.
And I think what I love so much about knowing it gets better is, first of all, you're sharing your story. So I know it gets better in a lot of ways because I've talked to you. Hmm. But I also, like, I called you last night with something that, like, flabbergasted my soul. And you had the space, the time, and the wisdom to spend with me and just talk me through that.
I was just so grateful you called. I'm like, I'm that person. I'm that same space.
You're that person.
Because I wasn't that person for most of my life. So it's like new and fun.
Yeah. And so I kind of want our listeners to know that, like, it, when you're in the messy middle, it feels like you're alone and it feels so vulnerable that I don't think we always reach out.
Yeah.
But I promise there is somebody a couple of steps ahead of you and they are ready for you to reach out. Like, they've been there. It's fresh. They know the way.
Yes. And then your story may also become someone else's survival guide. So, oh, Trisha, I love you. I am so glad that you are a chapter in my book. I'm excited for our podcast listeners. I hope that they get their copy of Perfectly Queer, whether you do the paperback or the Kindle version or the audiobook. But I narrate the audiobook. So it's, you get to listen to me more, whether you love it or not, you know, use that. You decide. But I'm really so grateful and so excited that you are a part of my book. And
me too.
I'm excited to see what's ahead. So I do hope our listeners will go out and check out the book. Like I said, it's not just for queer people. It's not just for perfectionists. I hope that we can all find a thread of ourselves in the story.
I'm going to say, I don't just hope it. I know it. I'm going to tell our listeners, I know you will find a part of your story in this story.
That's awesome. Happy launch day.
You too. Let's celebrate.
Woo! Hey, US podcast listeners, we want to come to you. If you're interested in having a Perfectly Queer book event with me, Jillian Abbey, and Dr. Trisha, email us at lifeandloveinthequeue@gmail.com. or DM us on our social media accounts and let us know where you're at in the US. We would love to coordinate and connect with you, to meet you in person, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveinthequeue@gmail.com. Until next time, Queue Crew.